I love the Old Testament. So many people bypass the Old Testament. But the Old Testament's kind of like me. It's old. It's got a lot of history in it. It's got a lot of stories in it. It's got a lot of failures, but a lot of conquering. If you listen to an old man, it will help the young man. And the New Testament tells you to kind of do that. Find out an older lady, find out an older man, and let them kind of lead you. We've been through stuff. So that's why I like the Old Testament. They've been through stuff. And when they really learned a lesson, you know what they did? They built a monument so they could always go back and say, that's when God taught me that lesson. You see it over and over. You never have to second guess when you're needing God to provide health, provision, direction, emotional healing. You go back and look at those stones in your life where God did that. So that's one of the stories here that I really enjoy. It's called the widow's oil. And maybe you've never heard of this story. It's amazing how many people don't know these old stories out of the Old Testament. The wife of a man, and I'm reading out the NIV, so if you're reading some different one, if you want to follow along with me, it's the NIV. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elijah, your servant, my husband, is dead, which leaves her a widow. And you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves. If you couldn't pay up, they came and got your kids. And they put them to work. So she cried out for help. Elijah replied to her, how can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? You see, the exchange is going to be with something we already have. I'm going to give three examples today. That's why the title of my sermon, God will use what you've already been given. You already got it. Will you let go of it? Will you let him use it? Your servant has nothing there at all, she said. I have nothing in my house to give to you except a little oil. Who has never heard this story? Who has never heard this story? Couple, two, three. Because this is an amazing story. It's a life changer. It's a true story. That's what I like about the Bible. What you're saying, Dan, today. The Bible is so exciting because it's true. So she said, I have nothing except a little oil. Elijah said, go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside, shut the door behind you and your sons. So get the picture of this. This widow lady, the prophet, she goes to the prophet and says, I need help. He says, okay, what do you have? I have nothing but oil. Good exchange, right? I have a little bit of oil. That's all I have. He says, okay, I'll do something with that. She didn't know what it was. But he said, go to all your neighbors. Go to Michelle. Say, Michelle, I need a jar. Tyra, I need a jar. I need a pot. I need something. There's no telling all kinds of different sizes of what she got. I can only picture it in her kitchen, up on the cabinet, all these different things she gathered. Probably sent her two sons too. Said, do what the prophet said, do. Kind of what Mary said later on. Turn the water into oil. Just do what he says. Well, that's kind of what she's saying. Okay, he says, let's go, let's do. Not knowing what the outcome's going to be. So you get all these different sizes of pots. Just think. Don't you wish you would have gave a bigger pot? Because when you get to the end of this story, your stinginess sometimes keeps you from a big blessing. The exchange that God wants from us depends on how much we're willing to give back to Him. And if you have this little pot, but you could have had like a big fork, like stew type chili, big pot. Could this get gooder and gooder? This can almost bring my Pentecostal out in me. Because this is so good. So I'm seeing all these different sizes of pots. And all she has is just a little oil. So she went inside, as he said, with her sons. She shut the door. He said, now pour oil into all the jars. So she takes her little bit and she begins to pour. That gives me goosebumps. She pours till that pot's full. Like, wow. She got to now, son, give me another pot. It's still flowing. This little bit won't stop pouring. Give me another pot. Give me another pot. Give me a big pot. Oh my gosh, they're amazed. Five, it's still going. Give me another one, another one, another one, another one. That's how it was. That's exactly how God is with us. And here, just yesterday, God really changed a whole paradigm shift of what this means to me. As Christians, the pots are the people we pour into. Who are you discipling? Who are you mentoring? Who are you coming alongside for growth? Just like what Dan said today, it doesn't start. Salvation is the beginning. It's up to us as Christians to mentor, to disciple, to walk alongside people in this walk. We are to pour out of us into other people. That oil, the Holy Spirit, is made to pour out of us into other people. It's a never-ending supply. There's only certain things can stop that. And it almost goes back to Peter's story when he took his eyes off Jesus. And we began to look at more things of this world. The things around that are very temporary. And we seek after those things. And we don't care for the kingdom and for other people. We don't allow that flow. That's an anointing that God has gave to you. To care Because, see, she cared. She didn't even know she'd been used so miraculously. She had no idea. Because here, she poured oil into the jars, and as each is filled, she put it to one side. She left him and afterwards shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her. They kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me one another." But he replied, "There's not a jar left." To the day we die as Christians, to the very last breath, we should be pouring in to other people. That's our job. Because we love Christ that much. Because he gave us so much. And so here, then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God. And he said, "Now go. Sell the oil and pay your debts." Here's the good part. You and your sons can live on what is left. But it's even better than that. Think of all the people in the village that got a pot of oil. They get to live off that too. For the rest of their life. And they get to pour that into other neighbors, into other ones, into other ones. She did. Her sons were saved. There's no debt. And the oil never got empty. Think of that. That is, to me, is so exciting. Like, wow. It never dried up. It just kept dipping. Go back the next day, same level. But it started out, "This is all I have. Will you give that to me and listen to what I have to say?" God says he will use what you've already been given. My second example, Aaron, my second example is John 6, 1 through 13. John 6, 1 through 13. And I'm not going to read through the whole thing. I'm just going to get to the point. Okay, Jesus is going to feed the 5,000. They're out there. Jesus has been preaching. They're hungry, thirsty. And Jesus says, "We need to feed these people. They've been here a long time. What are we going to do?" And so said, I'm going to start at verse 5. He said to Philip, "Where shall we go buy bread for all these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he had in mind what he was getting ready to do. I love Jesus so much. He asks you to do. He already knows what's going to happen. So it's just neat. Like, "God, I can't do that." "Yeah, you can." Philip answered him, "8 months of wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy." Wow. Have you ever got that line before? "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves, 2 small fishes. But how far will they go among so many. But we know the story. They're going to collect baskets at the end, baskets and baskets and baskets, overflowing just like the oil. But here is a boy. Here he had, right there. So here's a boy. He's got fish. I can do something with that. Jesus can do something with that. Is that boy willing to give it? And I have tried all over looking for this boy's name. You can try too. Apparently his name's not important, but his deed was. Because here was a boy that had what Jesus needed. You have the same thing. Jesus comes asking. You're that boy, you're that man, you're that woman, you're that girl. We're going to Mexico. We have no idea what we're getting ready to go into. We say, Lord, I'll go. And I'm kind of excited. Because when I come back, I'm that boy. When I come back, I'm that widow woman. So I like to go on mission. You just never know. Well, I like to walk into McDonald's and start a conversation. You never know. You can be that boy. So because he was willing to give, people got fed and they got their needs met. Okay, the last point. John 4, 1 through 9. And I got these other 2 points because the Old Testament is where I want to target to. But I want you to see in the New Testament, it's the same exchange. And we kind of miss some of these things. And even at the woman at the well, and I've thought about this for a long time, it says, will you give me a drink? This is going to be the woman at the well. If you look, let's start with verse 4. So John 4, verse 4. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? Interesting again. She had the instruments. Jesus did not. Was she willing to give Jesus, an unknown man, and we all know the general story of the background, will you give me a drink? She's probably like, I don't know you. And you shouldn't even be asking me. His disciples had gone to the town. The Samaritan woman said to him, but you're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. She said, sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? And he goes into that exchange about how his water is different. But he was willing to ask her first, are you willing to give me a drink? Interesting question. So I'm going to go back to the original, back to Kings, 2 Kings 4, 1 to 7. I'm sure we're sure we left that marked. And I've got these vessels, because I love illustrated sermons. One time I preached, I threw a bunch of seed out in the floor. So I'm just kind of like that. But they haven't forgot it. So this is kind of what, where's our oil? Do you have it? Okay. This oil, we're going to see how much it runs out. You may see a miracle today before your very eyes. I don't know if anybody wants to come forward or not. I may not have nobody. That's fine. There's no pressure. But I want to be just like Elijah. Here's your jar. I want to pour just a little bit of oil. And you understand that that oil multiplies in you spiritually. And your purpose is to understand what you're called to do. Pour into somebody else and pour into somebody else and pour into somebody else. This is just a little small illustration of just a challenge, I guess, in a way, because I love this kind of stuff. Is that, wow, God, man, I want to pour to other people more than anything in my life. And I wish I caught this so much earlier, because it's what matters most, is to put someone ahead of yourself. That's what true Christianity is all about. So I really want to be the one that does that. I'm a little shaky at times, but I don't care. But I'm getting ready to close. Because I do, if anyone wants to come forward, you can just line up here. We have about 20 people. And I'll go by and I'll pour just a little bit of oil in your cup. Then I want to pray over all of us. Almost like, wow. God, I want to take this to my neighbor, to my neighborhood, to my family. I want this to be poured out, just like the widow. So, anyway, if anyone wants to come forward, and if not, that's fine too. To say, like, here's my cup, Lord. I lift it up. Am I right? Man, I'll tell you what. I just want to be a poured out. Anybody else that wants to come forward, just come on up. And I'll start pouring from here down just a little bit. Take it home and see what grows. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But, man, Father God, thank you. I just want to be in obedience to you, Lord. I want to be a poured out vessel. Man, what a big thing for that widow to say, hey, I have a need, but I have nothing but a little bit of oil. And that turned out to be the very thing that God needed. And in turn, she was obedient to God to go through the neighborhood, gather pots, not knowing the blessing that she was giving to other people. Had no idea. And now their needs are met too. God, we just say, here we are, Lord. Imperfect people serving a perfect God in obedience any way we can be, to give of ourselves, of what you've given to us, Lord God, that we give back, Lord, in your kingdom, Lord. Amen.